But now one of the MPs, a Labour MP who put questions to Theresa May, is on the line now. He's Hilary Benn, who's also chair of the Exiting the European Union Select Committee, which makes you, Hilary Benn, I would guess, one of the few people in the House of Commons who actually has a clear grasp of what no Brexit means. Is that why your question to Theresa May was that Remain is better than the deal she's got on the table?
Well, leaving the EU with no deal would be a disaster for the country. And I think most people recognise that. But the problem that the Prime Minister has with her deal, it's pretty clear from the session that is still going on that she doesn't have the support of the House of Commons, from my point of view, is it does not provide any certainty or clarity whatsoever about the future of our trading relationship with the European Union. Because we have the transition period and the backstop to keep an open border in Northern Ireland, which is really important if it is used. But what is going to come after that? Because if the government is still committed to keeping an open border, and that's what it says, the question I put to the Prime Minister was, you're only going to do that by remaining in customs union with the European Union, and I think remaining in the single market, I would advocate Britain joining the European Economic Area. Because the problem is, for 2.5 years, the government has not been honest with the British people about the trade-offs and the choices that have to be made. And that is why we are in the mess that we can see today, with the government, frankly, falling apart before our eyes.
Will you vote against this deal along with the rest of the Labour Party? Will you vote against Theresa May's withdrawal Brexit deal?
I will, because it doesn't offer us the certainty we need about the future. Actually, the argument that the backstop apart isn't really about the withdrawal agreement. It's about the political declaration that we saw for the first time last night. And we were promised something that would be detailed and specific. Businesses are reading that today and thinking, well, I've got no idea what our trading relationship is going to be in the future. And we need that certainty, because that's really important for the future of our economy, for jobs and for investment.
So you're voting no, but you're a Remainer. Jeremy Corbyn, and we heard him there in Eleanor Burnhill's package, Jeremy Corbyn is voting no, and he is widely perceived as a Brexiteer. Here's the question for the Labour Party. If Theresa May's plan is voted down, what does Parliament do then? What next? Because whatever mess you're in then, Parliament will own, and Parliament will then have to decide whether it's going for no deal, whether it's going for this deal, or whether it's going for a general election or another referendum. Those are the only options open to you, aren't they?
Well, Parliament will definitely not go for no deal. There is simply no majority in the House of Commons for leaving the European Union with no deal.
And does Jeremy Corbyn accept that, in your view?
Oh, absolutely. The Labour Party has been crystal clear that we oppose leaving the European Union with no deal. That's in the resolution that we passed at our conference this year.
But your leader deceives himself on the six tests, because the only way the six tests the Labour Party has set down on Brexit can be met is by Remain.
Well, the six tests were drawn up in part from what the government had said. The former Brexit Secretary, the original Brexit Secretary, David Davis, said we get a deal with the exact same benefits.
Well, that's a bit of a cop-out, Hilary Benn, isn't it? Because we are where we are. This is the deal. The reality is, and Bertie Ahern said this, our former Taoiseach, the other day, the only way the Labour Party can meet its six tests is by remaining, which Jeremy Corbyn won't do. He says it's too late to stop Brexit. He said that himself.
Well, what the party agreed at our conference this year was, if the deal is voted down, we would like there to be a general election. So a Labour government could be elected if the people want that, so that we can negotiate a different arrangement. If that does not happen, then there may be a referendum on this decision. But before that, Parliament has to find a way of proceeding on which there is a majority, because if the Prime Minister's deal is voted down because there's no majority for it, and I personally have been arguing for us to remain in a customs union and to join the European Economic Area, to maintain the closest possible economic relationship with the EU, to limit the economic damage that would be done to the UK and indeed to the Republic of Ireland because of our close trading relationship and partnership, and ensuring in the long term that the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic is kept open. And that's why it's vital that when we vote on this deal, we don't just have a straight up and down vote on it, but there's an opportunity for amendments to the deal, giving reasons as to why Parliament may not want to approve it, so that Parliament can indicate in which direction it wants to go. And that is, it may sound like a point of procedure, but it's absolutely vital, because the task we have now is to find what can command a majority in the House of Commons, rather than the Prime Minister's deal, which, judging by this morning, is going to find it very difficult, if not impossible, to command support.
Appreciate your time as ever. Hilary Benn, Chairman of the European Union Select Committee and Labour MP, thank you for joining us. And let's talk a little bit about how this very roller coaster day and roller coaster Brexit might play out with George Parker, the political editor of the Financial Times. We've been talking about what's been going on in the House of Commons all morning, and certainly a feat of endurance on Theresa May's part, if nothing else. Talk to us first, though, George, about the ministerial resignations and the threat to Theresa May's own leadership. Where does that stand this lunchtime?
Well, it's been a remarkable morning here. We've had Theresa May on her feet in the House of Commons for almost 3 hours answering questions about her Brexit strategy, which obviously is in deep trouble. And all around her in the chamber and outside, there's a sort of sense of growing crisis engulfing her. So we've had already had the resignations this morning of Esther McVeigh, of Dominic Raab, of course, a number of junior ministers. There's rumours of other ministers possibly resigning later on this afternoon. Andrea Leadsom, the leader of the House, maybe Penny Mordaunt, the international aid secretary. So that's going on. The ministers are walking out of her top team. At the same time, there are rumours swirling around here that the Conservative Party is considering, well, members of the Conservative Party are considering moving a vote of confidence in the Prime Minister. You recall that they need to have 48 names to trigger such a vote. Mm-hmm. And literally in the last few seconds, Jacob Rees-Mogg, the sort of leading Eurosceptic MP, has confirmed he has sent a letter in demanding a vote of confidence in the Prime Minister. So she's facing a sort of grade one political crisis.
A grade one political crisis, and the point that Hilary Benn was making there was from the couple of hours of debate we've seen this morning. He's a Remainer. He's going to vote no. We know the Brexiteers are going to vote no. Does it look at this stage as if there's any way Theresa May can win this Brexit vote?
It doesn't look hopeful for the Prime Minister. And on top of that, you could add Nigel Dodds, the leader of the DUP at Westminster, saying that he couldn't support the vote, the deal either. So the parliamentary arithmetic looks really grim. But the only way Theresa May can get this deal through, if indeed she survives any attempted leadership coup, is to present the House of Commons with the facts of the political reality of the situation that Britain is in, which is that there is no other deal on the table. This is the best deal she's likely to be able to negotiate in Brussels. If we don't get this deal sorted out, we will leave in chaotic circumstances on March the 29th next year, and she will confront the House of Commons with a choice. It's this deal or political and economic chaos. Now, we don't quite know how that will play out, and I suspect that faced with that confronted mm-hmm. with those facts in a big vote, some people might blink, but certainly at the moment, it looks pretty precarious for her.
It does, and passions are running very high. But again, you know, it's one thing, and possibly Parliament will vote against Theresa May's Brexit deal. It's an easy thing, in a way, to vote no. The question I was asking Hilary Benn is, what happens next? What happens when, for instance, as the Cabinet was warned yesterday, you can't guarantee that people won't die in the hospitals because of shortages of medicines, shortages of staff? What happens when the south of England becomes a gridlocked car park? What happens when the supermarket shelves are empty? These are all logical, predictable things that likely will happen, and Parliament, having rejected everything Mrs. May has come up with, is going to own that problem and have to come up with a solution.
I think you summarised it extremely well. That is the dilemma that these people will be facing when they make that choice. You know, some people say, oh, well, we can have a second referendum and reverse Brexit. Well, that would have, apart from the fact that Theresa May said that she's not prepared to countenance such a thing, that would open up divisions in the UK again. If you had a general election, well, the Conservative Party would probably lose, and then you'd have Jeremy Corbyn and a very left-wing Labour government in place. Many Eurosceptics wouldn't like that either. So they'd be faced with a number of unpalatable choices, of which the deal that Theresa May has presented, unloved though it is, might be the best one.
One of the stories of the morning has been Mrs. May herself, as you say, taking questions without much support for 3 hours non-stop and still going, it seems, in the House of Commons. That was 5.5-hour Cabinet meeting yesterday, which was apparently very fractious. She offers them all a glass of wine at the end and goes out and makes her statement to the media. This is a woman who has endured through embarrassment, public humiliation, opposition, and she's still standing, and somehow is she growing in stature with it, in a weird way?
Yeah, it's not even in a weird way. I mean, certainly inside the fevered walls of the Palace of Westminster, you'll find a grudging respect for her, but also a lot of people who are engaged in these debates day after day will be criticising her for not getting a good enough deal in Brussels. But outside Westminster, in the real world, you meet a tremendous number of people who just say, how does she keep going? You know, she's been dogged on all sides by disloyal colleagues, got Boris Johnson breathing down there, but she just keeps relentlessly going on. And I think whatever else you think of Theresa May, you can have to say that she seems to have a sense of duty, a sense of determination, and a clear of what she thinks is the best thing for the country. And she may be misguided in that. But I think you're right that she does in some way grow in stature, the more that the arrows and slings and arrows keep sort of coming in her direction.
All right, George Parker, thank you very much indeed for that. And thank you also for that breaking news that you brought us. The Jacob Rees-Mogg has added his letter to those demanding Theresa May's resignation. Obviously, a lot happening in London today and a lot more to come. George Parker, thank you. And let's come back to Dublin now, where the Taoiseach Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, has insisted that the Irish government is not and will not be claiming victory in relation to the Brexit deal.
The Irish government needs to be careful not to be pretending that we can influence British politics, and not to try to do so publicly either, because we might well find that it'll have the opposite effect. There is a British political system that needs to tease through the detail of this text. That will happen in the coming days and weeks, and there will be a vote at the end of that. We will have a detailed debate here too. And I can assure you that neither the Taoiseach or I or Minister McEntee or any other ministers for that matter are going to be claiming victories or anything like that.
And that was Taoiseach Simon Coveney speaking at Leaders' Questions this lunchtime. I'm joined by our political correspondent, Martina Fitzgerald. And if you contrast, Martina, the scenes in the Dáil this morning with the scenes in the House of Commons, it tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it, about however modest the Irish government is being today, and they were being very diplomatically silent yesterday, this is nonetheless a substantial achievement of a lot of the goals they had set out.
Well, let's put it like this. If they had everyone on their backs, making sure that this was going to be legally operable, legally binding, that it was going to be even included in the document, and that there was going to be no expiry date. So they have achieved all of the above, and they were very careful yesterday to keep under the radar. And I think last night's press conference, despite what Fianna Fáil are saying, I think it was very low-key. It was very short. The Taoiseach said it was satisfactory outcome. He also said that they were no threat to the unionists. And he said it was one of the better days. Now, I think they're taking issue that he has stated that it is stronger position than they were last December. But let's put it like this. What would Fianna Fáil or the other opposition be saying if they were in a weaker position now? Like, this is political reality. They got what they wanted, and there is so much at stake in terms of the border. Arlene Foster was out yesterday before the Taoiseach ever got to that press conference. She was quite adamant in her views.
Absolutely. And indeed, you know, throughout the past year, they've been taking a lot of criticism, I suppose, for, you know, saying that the December letter was bulletproof and was going to deliver. But it would appear it is being delivered in this withdrawal text. But we still don't know, of course, is whether that text is actually going to get the approval of the UK side.
It all depends if she can get it over the line. So we're a hostage to the fortunes of Theresa May and what is happening in the British House of Commons. You could have almost done the full programme on it today, not on Irish politics. We're Brexit watching, but it's from Britain. Yes. And it is an extraordinary event.
And probably a number of weeks to go on all of this yet as it plays out. The other news that has been happening on the home front, of course, is Taoiseach has been meeting parties from Northern Ireland, pro-Remain parties from Northern Ireland. We'll be talking to Michelle O'Neill about that in a moment. But the other big news out of Sinn Féin is Paddy Tobin, who's been with the party for 21 years, who will be a familiar figure to many people who follow Irish politics, the TD from Meath West. He is leaving Sinn Féin. Tell us about that.
Well, a week or so ago, you had him on the programme and he was stating that the obvious, he had voted against the abortion legislation, he had voted against his party's whip. He knew the consequences of that. There was going to be a suspension, and this is the second time he has faced one because back in 2013, he voted against the protection of life during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So a six-month suspension was imposed. No surprises there. However, what was surprising in his statement at the time is he said that he wouldn't be able to run as a candidate during the six-month suspension for Sinn Féin. They confirmed that, fair enough. But if he ran as an independent, he stated that he wouldn't be able to re-enter the party. We asked Sinn Féin about that. They said it would be up to the party's Ord Cohla. But he obviously noted that that was a very uncertain future for him, and also that in terms of his political career, well, obviously they've been tic-tacking and he has decided to resign, but he's gone a little bit step further. He said, and I've been talking to him, that he's going to go around the 32 counties and meet like-minded people, and he's not just talking about the referendum, those on economic justice issues and in terms of Irish unity, to look at bringing people of like-minded nature together. So we'll see what that exactly means. But his first test, of course, is keeping a seat. He has a strong base in Meath West. He is very popular, got over 9,000 first preference votes. How much of that is a personal vote and a Sinn Féin vote? But I'd say he has a strong personal vote within that.
That's going to be an interesting one to watch. Martina, thank you very much indeed for that.